Shall we just pray together? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your holy presence, your wonderful presence. And thank you that you are here wanting to speak to each one of us this morning. And so we pray that you would give to us open hearts and open ears to you. Amen. So if you haven't been around, we are doing a series on holiness. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of the word holiness. It's kind of one of those words you only really ever hear in church. And it sounds an awful lot like going to church an awful lot. And maybe it's not the most appealing word for some of us. And I hope that over these weeks, we are just smashing the wrong ideas about what holiness is, because holiness actually isn't about church attendance. Holiness, if it means anything, is about every day, and ultimately, holiness is about becoming like our wonderful Jesus. That's what holiness is about. It's not just about Sundays, it's about who we are the rest of the week. So I want to look at two sentences this morning from our reading that I think really help us grasp actually what holiness is. And the first sentence has been ringing in my mind all week, and I really am praying that it will land upon you and that you'll hear Jesus saying this to you. And it was there in our reading. I wonder if you picked it out. Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." Most wonderful words. So the story, which Emma read so beautifully, is that the Pharisees want to trap Jesus, and they bring in a woman who's been caught in adultery. I mean, it sounds like they've more or less pulled her off the bed sheets, and she's not dressed, she's just in utter shame. And they're ready to condemn her, because adultery is part of the big Ten Commandments right there at the back of the church. We've got them engraved in stone. And you can imagine the stonemason who in 1870 kind of chipped it all out to write out those Ten Commandments. But of course, actually, the Ten Commandments, the very first Ten Commandments, weren't copied by anybody else. They were engraved by the finger of God, by the Holy Spirit in stone. So they're actually God's standards. And that means that adultery is really serious. And one of the reasons I think it's so serious is that the picture of adultery is a picture that speaks of God's sadness over his people, because the Bible says he loves his people like the most passionate husband loves his bride. And I can't imagine what I would feel like if I found that Trevor had committed adultery. But that's what the Bible says God feels when his people turn away from him. It's like they are adulterous. So adultery is really, really serious in the Old Testament. And Jesus says it's still serious. And perhaps we could just go straight to the second slide, Mark, on the PowerPoint. It's kind of a bit of a frivolous, if any of you have ever seen the Lego Bible. But Jesus takes it really seriously. He says, not only committing adultery, but even looking. If your right eye should be your downfall, you need to pluck it out. It's kind of quite vivid here in this picture. And I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in their hearts. So it's really serious. Let's lose that slide now, Mark. Thank you. And this woman has been caught more than looking. And I don't know if you have ever been caught out behaving really badly. I think most of us are quite good at impression management, and we manage to hide most of our bad behavior. I'm quite good at that. But of course, we can't ever hide it with God. You know, imagining that we could commit a sin and God not see. It's like, you know, when you see a kid playing hide and seek and they stick their hands over their eyes and they think they can't be seen. God sees. So the truth is, before God, we're always caught out. And this woman has been really caught out. She's standing there and there's all the Pharisees around her and they've got their stones in their hands. And And she must have been so scared. I mean, she will have seen people being stoned to death. I think she was very, very afraid. But the most extraordinary thing happens because God himself is standing in front of this woman who has been caught out, and he refuses to condemn her. And I love Jesus for that. And instead, we're told Jesus writes with his finger in the dust. And I don't know what he wrote. I think that might be on my list of questions I might ask when I get to heaven. But we remember that it was the finger of God that first wrote those Ten Commandments in the stone. That finger contained all authority, and it could have rightly pointed with condemnation. And instead, Jesus says, let any of you who are without sin, you be the first to throw a stone. And I don't know, I can imagine them all kind of looking at each other. And sometimes I meet people, in fact, quite often I meet people say, I'd never do anything bad. I've never done anything bad. It's amazing that people say that. But it changes when they meet Jesus. That's the moment all our bluster and our clever self-defenses, they just all crumble. All the ways we so cleverly justify ourselves. And I love that line in our video when Lacey Sturm encounters God and she just said, well, you're holy and I am so not holy. And you could have just told me to go away. And that's what happens to these guys one by one. They just let the stones fall to the ground and one by one they go away. And I actually quite like the fact that the older ones go first. Did you notice that? Because if you live just a little bit longer, you have a bit more of a record to deal with. And Jesus straightens up and they've all gone and there's just this woman. And I guess she was probably on the ground. And she didn't do a runner. She's just there. And Jesus says to her, women, where are they? And I think he's just getting her to dare to look. I reckon she was just down on the ground sobbing, so afraid. And she raises her head and sees they've gone. Has no one condemned you? And you see, Jesus could have. He could have condemned her because he had no sin. But he says, neither do I condemn you, because it says in John chapter 3, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, because that's the heart of God. And Jesus stood before her knowing that he was heading to the cross to take her condemnation, her sin, on himself. And today, he wants you to know that he says that to you. He wants you to hear him say, neither do I condemn you. He doesn't want you spending your life the other side of that curtain of condemnation, because he loves you. That's why Jesus came. And I'm sure there are people here who are in patterns of just speaking negatively over yourselves, and you think that's what God's doing. And actually, he's not like that. Satan is the one who is the accuser. Jesus is the one who says, neither do I condemn you. One of the Old Testament words for the love of God is one that I really love, and it's the word in Hebrew is hesed, which means loving kindness. And it's a word that's often used to speak of the character of God. And I want to tell you this morning that God's kindness is inseparable from his holiness. Simon Ponsonby, in his book on holiness, speaks of holiness as kindness. Had you realized that when you thought of the holiness of God? And it's because of God's kindness that he doesn't condemn you. It's because he really loves you. And if that is what Jesus is like, that's what we're called to. Do you remember that holiness is becoming like Christ? And Trevor spoke a few weeks ago that God says, be holy as I am holy. And that means that for us, being holy looks like being kind. And, you know, we really have to get this because there's been quite a lot of stuff in church history where there's been a lot of self-righteousness, and you look at aspects of the church where, you know, women who perhaps, those desperately awful stories of young girls who became pregnant and who were rejected, and it was done in the name of holiness. That's not what God is like. Frederick Buchner, the theologian, says, be kind, because although kindness is not by a long shot the same as holiness, kindness is one of the doors that holiness enters the world through, enters us through. I really love that. So how far is the door of kindness open in your life? Holiness flings it really wide. Paul says to Timothy, the Lord's servant must be kind to anyone. Christian holiness is never hard or judgmental. Titus says, when the kindness and love of our Saviour appeared, he saved us not because of the righteous things we'd done, but because of his mercy. So true kindness is always full of mercy, like Jesus, and it gives, expecting nothing back. A little while ago, Trevor did one of the Karis kids trips off to Uganda. And, you know, our household does get a bit chaotic before these things. And Trevor raced off to the airport, thought he was all ready. William Edwards, the wonderful William Edwards, gave him a lift to the airport. And we got to the airport. Trevor arrived at the airport. And he had left his yellow fever certificate at home, without which you could not enter the country. And William Edwards, who is a very kind man, and he'll be annoyed that I'm probably telling this story about him, just got in the car, no complaint, drove home, all the way home again, and back to Heathrow again to go and get Trevor's yellow fever certificate. And the thing about his kindness was he never made Trevor pay by looking exasperated or sounding self-righteous, because that's what kindness is like. It's not doing something for someone who deserves it. So here's a question. When did you last do a kind act for someone who didn't deserve it? When you weren't actually storing up points for a future occasion. You see, our series on holiness, we're also describing it as being different. And we are called to a radical kindness that is different to our culture. Kindness marked out the early church. A third century writer described early Christians as being different to others because they shared their homes in hospitality but didn't share their beds in immorality. They took in abandoned babies and they took in plague victims, and that's holiness. Now, you might not be about to take in a plague victim, but I wonder, what could you do this week? And maybe we just need to start small. I saw a really funny thing on Facebook this week, some of you may have seen it, of a couple who were practicing their wedding dance. And they decided that they'd try and do one of the dances out of Dirty Dancing, and they ended up knocking each other out unconscious. And it was just a little step too big. So don't start with maybe a really huge thing, but you might want to start with just a little act of kindness. Plato says, kindness always lifts another up. That's such a lovely picture of it, isn't it? How could you lift somebody up this week? If you've got a smartphone, I want you to just take it out now. And if you haven't got a smartphone, write a note on your hand or just think. And maybe you could just write in your phone for Monday morning, I'm going to do a kind act to lift someone up. I know it's actually quite dangerous asking people to get their smartphones out. You're really not allowed to go on Facebook and look up that clip, okay? You can wait till you're home. What stops you being kind? What stops us being kind? Anybody, what stops us being kind? Fear, yeah? I think sometimes it's just a bit scary. What else? It's costly. Yeah, thanks, Colleen. Being tired. Yeah, I think that's a particularly Western problem, Southwest London problem. Anything else? Resentment. Yeah, I think sometimes we can just feel like we're going to be taken advantage of. Maybe other people haven't been kind to us. Busyness. Yeah, I think there's quite a lot of things that can hold us back. I think if I lose sight of the kindness of Jesus, I stop being kind to others, because I can only do it from that richness of knowing how kind he is to me. Otherwise, I'm going to be expecting other people to be kind first. Sometimes I just get so caught up in my own little world and my very important agenda. But Jesus, when he was asked what love looked like, he told a story of a man who stopped his business trip to help a stranger in trouble. Am I kind enough to be interrupted? I was thinking about this kindness and just thinking about Jesus on the cross in agony was kind enough to ask John to look after his mother. Jesus is so kind, and it's what we're called to be. And it's not the quality that prevails in our culture. You only need to turn on a reality show. At Holy Trinity School, we've got a whole thing going to try and create a culture of kindness, because it's not there naturally in our culture. But if our holiness means anything, we will be kind. It's not just about smiles on Sundays. How's your Monday morning kindness? There's a challenge for you as you wake up tomorrow. God is calling us to live life with a holy generosity of spirit that says to each other, neither do I condemn you. And I felt this as a challenge as I was preparing this. I think God's calling and challenging us to lay down our judgmental attitudes. Social media at the moment is full of horrible negative words, and as Christians, we're not to be part of that. Our Saviour makes people drop stones, not hurl them. He says, neither do I condemn you. And he wants us to do the same, because that's what holiness looks like. But I want to just say here that the story doesn't just finish with the stones dropping to the ground. And maybe even as I'm speaking, you can think of some stones you need to drop, some people you were condemning that you need to drop. But the story doesn't end there, because God's kindness isn't only a refusal to condemn us, it brings a promise of change. And I've spent most of the time in this talk really talking about the neither do I condemn you sentence, because I think it's the one we often miss. But I want to finish, and it would be wrong to stop without saying that there's another sentence at the end of this story that is an absolutely key part of holiness. And it's this: go and sin no more. So Jesus says, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. And you know, we really need to get both those sentences and in the right order, or we get a distorted view of what holiness is. Because without the first sentence, we get cold self-righteousness. And without the second, we make the really grave error of thinking God doesn't care about how we behave. Because God's kindness doesn't say, oh, go and do what you like. Because that would be like a parent that feeds his kids candy floss and Coke and doesn't care about how damaging it is because it looks kind. God actually really loves us, and it's his kindness that leads us to to repentance and to change behaviour. And I find, as I'm a Christian, he is often showing me where I need to change. I don't know if others of you find the same thing, that the more I walk with him, and sometimes I bristle because I don't like being told that I need to change. And we're part of a culture that doesn't like being told what to do. But always what Jesus calls us to is kindest and best for us. Because it doesn't come out of condemnation. It comes out of his deep love for you that says that the best way for you is going to be his way. And always with his command comes the power to fulfill it. He never asks us to do anything without enabling us. You cannot be holy on your own. Don't ever think you can be. But God makes us holy. And maybe today you're listening to this and you know there's an area that God wants you to address. Statistically, there will be people in here struggling over sexual sin. There'll be people struggling over judgmental attitudes and being unkind. We have a God who is calling us to be like him. But his word says, and let's have that next verse up, Mark, please. Next one. And we're keeping going, and let's keep going. Here we go. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. So we don't have to do this on our own. God is calling you to holiness because he wants nothing less for you than being restored to the image of his son. That's what you were created for. He's calling us to holy lives that mean being kind to one another. And that's everyday stuff. He's so kind, he promises to enable us to do so. The same finger that carved those laws on the stone promises by his spirit to carve his laws onto our hearts. Let's pray. And the Lord's here. I'm just going to welcome his presence that he would speak to you personally. Take the thing from all that's been said that he wants to say to you. Maybe it's one of those sentences, neither do I condemn you. Maybe he's calling you to let down, put down some stones this morning. Maybe he wants you to know that he can empower you to live a godly, holy life. So, Holy Spirit, come, would you speak to your people this morning? Just a sense, there's a few people here who think I can't change. And I think you need to confess that as a sin before the Lord, that you don't trust him, that he can change you. Father, we praise you that you call us to be holy. You call us to be like Jesus. And we thank you for your wonderful spirit who comes and transforms us from the inside out. Thank you for your joy and delight tonight that you're to this morning that your people would be offering their lives before you. We just welcome you, Holy Spirit, and we ask that we would be those who live holy lives. In Jesus' name, amen.